So we are in the middle of the tefillah. We learned yesterday in the Memori Chazal the three different openings to Gehenna. Mechol, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Lihiyeh Bidvaroi.
Amen.
Lihiyeh. Lihiyeh. Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you.
I know.
I just said it because it's always a bone of contention with a lot of people.
Right. I'm telling you, my mind is a blank. Unfortunately. Okay. So let's continue. We left off. We are in the middle of Pasuk Gimel in the Likutei Shas Umidrashei Hatem on page 425. On 425, on the very, very bottom, we learned yesterday about this very fascinating medrash that tells us there are three entrances to Gehenna. If you want to know where it is, three places. It's in the desert, it is in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the third place is in the Yam. This pasuk here is the source that one of the openings to Gehenna is in the Yam. So I told you yesterday, Rabbi Kitzer, there's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says that shloisha dvarim moitzien es ha'adam min ha'olam. There are three things which can take a person out of this world, and they are kina, taiva, and kovet. So I suggested yesterday that the three different items, the three different midos that can destroy a person, doesn't just mean you leave this world. It means to go to Gehenna, and they are alluded to these three things parallel. The three openings to Gehenna, the Yam, the Midbar, and Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is clearly covered because Yerushalayim is the Mokom of the Hashroas Hashchina. What do we say in davening? Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoyvai. May the honor of Hashem be blessed from his place. What is the Mokom of Hashem? Well, obviously today, whatever, there are many interpretations. But when Yisrael is oisim ritzoyne shel mokum and there's a Beis HaMikdash and Hashem is resting His divine presence in Yerushalayim, obviously the mokum mimikoymoi, the mokum of Hashem is Yerushalayim. A person gets a sense of greatness, of covered of Hashem. It's very dangerous. Mitzad echad, person is supposed to appreciate kavod and use that mida only to serve Hashem. But unfortunately, we all know too good and well that some people get too excited with the kavod and they misappropriate the kavod for themselves, and it becomes a world where everyone is just looking out for their own honor, their own glory, and that leads a person down a path of Gehenna. So Yerushalayim is the place of the ultimate kavod. If you abuse it, Rachmana Litzlan, it can take you to a bad place. The Yam represents, I suggested yesterday, some people told me, were telling me differently, Ein Chanami, telling me something to think about. The Yam represents kina, jealousy. When a person is jealous, they strive to achieve, to acquire for themselves the same thing that their friend has. The whole world is driven by kina. Everyone sees what their neighbor has, what other countries have, they also want. And it comes with a price. And the price is hard work, the quest for wealth. And wealth in Chazal is usually described in terms of traveling the seas, traveling long distances to acquire wealth, kina. And the Yam is the place of travel. In ancient times, it's symbolic of the ultimate travel, the Yam. And therefore, if a person abuses, he goes too far, the kina goes beyond. A little bit of kina is healthy. You need to survive in this world. You need to be inspired. You need to be motivated. A little kina is good. But too much kina can drive a person mad and can lead him to Gehenna. And the midbar represented, we struggle with this. So Rabbi Mayevsky told me a midbar is a place where it's kina, a taiva. There's no suppression. The midbar is out in the open. Out in the open means there's no suppression of taiva. It's not healthy for a person to allow his taivas to go uncontrolled. There has to be a degree of suppression or a degree of conquering. It's a whole discussion. How do you conquer taiva? Is it healthy to suppress it? Maybe that's no good, because suppressing taiva will just ultimately, the pressure will ultimately work against you, or you have to nip it in the bud. So there are different approaches. On the one hand, kina, midbar represents no suppression. It's completely open to the elements. Or midbar means nothingness. When a person has absolutely nothing, it can be very unhealthy, you can feel deprived, and later in life it can work against you. All right, it's a little bit of a struggle. However, yesterday Rabbi Michal Miller came to the rescue. Okay, and he sent me an email of a very beautiful Dvar Torah that he wrote a number of years ago for the National Council of Young Israel. And he cites there the Maral. Rabbi Michal is a bucky in the words of the Maral and all the different fascinating insights of the Maral. And he cites a fascinating Maral which says that the three openings of Gehenna correspond to the three most evil men, well, some of in history. And who are they? Paro, Sancheriv, and Korach. Okay, each one in a different, another other, there obviously were other evil people. Amalek, you can't say these are the only evil people. There's Nebuchadnezzar. There's Titus, obviously. There are many types of evil people in the world. But for whatever reason, the Maral focuses on three evil people. Paro. Where did Paro meet his end? In the Yam. Korach, who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, where did he meet his end? In the desert. Sancheriv, he marched up to conquer the whole Eretz Yisrael. He did, except for Yerushalayim. And his last battle was the night of Pesach to conquer the Yerushalayim. And what happened to him? Miraculously, his entire army died. They suddenly died in the middle of the night. Where, when they were encamped, when they were laying siege to Yerushalayim. So it's an amazing insight from the Maral that these three openings to Gehenim correspond to the three evil people who are in Gehenim, three evildoers, Korach, Sancheriv, and Paro, who each one met their end in these three locations. Paro, he drowned in the Yam. Well, really, Paro really survived. Sancheriv also survived. Korach, Uvnei Korach, his children, Lemesu. Where are they? They're in every shul.
Yeah. Sanhedrin discusses, like, you know, that Shohayim Uvnei Banav Yotzim based on Medrash and all that. The one person that it suggests and asks about it and says, don't go there, is Nebuchadnezzar. It says, he says, Bnei Haman, we were learning in the base Medrash and blah, 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 and all that. And then it says, and what about Nebuchadnezzar? The Gemara says, please.
Don't go there.
Don't even attempt to mention
the psukim make it very clear that he, the Nebuchadnezzar, Hashem had something really, really special hatred out for him because he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar is in a class by himself.
Right, exactly.
The psukim mention it. Right.
Yeah.
Haman is the epitome of evil. How could you have any rachmanis on Haman? And yet, Bnei Banav Shel Haman Lomdut Harbe Bnei Barak. How can you have any sympathy on Hitler? It's not even Shaykh. It's not even possible. Haman was no different than Hitler. Haman wanted to do even worse. So how can you have any... Same way we can relate to Hitler, Yimach Shmo. There's not possible any sympathy. It's not possible. It's not possible in our minds for there to be any mashu of sympathy. So how then can Chazal say, Bnei Banav Shel Haman Lomdut Torah Bnei Barak? Even if it's true, why would he want to even mention it?
All their endings are non-natural endings. Okay.
What do you mean non-natural?
Haman
was hung on the tree, 50 amos high.
Talking about the three mentioned.
The three words are l'mala miderech hateva.
They didn't die.
You're saying over there. You're saying something very, very, very good. You're saying that these three. Nebuchadnezzar died a natural death. Doesn't say he died any tragic death. He lied down and he died. Haman was killed, but it wasn't. He was killed al derech hateva. He was killed He's saying these three wicked individuals, they were taken from this world in an unnatural way. Paro, Kriyas Yamsuf, that's a nes. Korach was swallowed up. A Bria, Im Yivra, Hashem created a new Bria to swallow Hog. And Sancheriv, miraculously, everyone just drops dead in the middle of the night. So he's saying very, very good. He's saying over here that these three, the reason why they're singled out, even though we have many, many more candidates to add to this list, there's no shortage of wicked people out there to add to the list, but these three all died an unnatural, supernatural death. That's why they're all grouped together. Then you quote again, this is also Maral, the second, this is another insight you quote, that these three correspond to the three holidays. Pesach is Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar Bi'eretz Loi Zeruah. I'm sorry. Pesach is Kriyas Yamsuf. Shvihi Shel Pesach. The culmination of Yitzias Mitzrayim took place on Shvihi Shel Pesach with Kriyas Yamsuf. The Yam. What is Shavuos Matan Torah? Where was the Torah given?
In the Midbar.
Sukkos. Now there are many ways to look at this. Sukkos was our destination. We traveled in booths in the desert to reach Eretz Yisrael. It's our destination. Now, you can add to that, there are many different avenues, is that the Sukkah was already the Avira, the Eretz Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar for 40 years, Hashem was giving them a taste of what Eretz Yisrael is going to be like through the Anane HaKovod. We were not yet eligible to actually live in Eretz Yisrael itself. We had to do some practice. And the practice was like a mock-up. What's the mock-up? A miniature Eretz Yisrael. You go into the sukkah. The sukkah, the Anani HaKavod, it's a me'ain of Eretz Yisrael. So these three are the positive element of Pesach. Shavuos and Sukkos. Pesach is Kriyas Yamsuf. Shavuos is the Midbar. And Sukkos is Eretz Yisrael. Hashem is trying to save us. He's saving us from Gehenim, the three different types of Gehenim. Whatever, again, this obviously requires a lot more elaboration, understanding, but it's a very great starting point, this idea as well as the other ideas. Yashkachter Amachol for providing us that incredible insight. These two Mahalchim to explain this amazing Medrash that is presented here, the three entranceway openings to Gehenim. And while we're talking about Gehenim, let me tell you my favorite joke about Gehenim. Do we have any lawyers here? Are there any lawyers here? No lawyers? Are there no lawyers here? So lawyer, everyone knows lawyer jokes. In Gehenim is right, they say, is right adjacent to Gan Eden, and the wall broke. There was a breach in the wall, and the heat of Gehenim was leaking into Gan Eden. So in Gan Eden, it was a little warm. The heat was leaking. So the people of Gan Eden said to Gehenim, fix the leak, fix the breach, it's leaking, the heat is leaking. So the people in Gehenim says, we have no problem that the temperature is a little, it's not so hot. You pay for it. They were fighting, so they went to a Din Torah, and they each presented their arguments. And who won the Din Torah? The Pamalia Shalmaila, the Ben Shalmaila? Gehenim won. Gehenim won the Din Torah. The Bez and Shalmai Lepaskint Gan Eden. You don't like it? You fix it. You pay for it. Okay, you pay for it. So they were talking about word reached this world, came down and filtered down to this world, what happened in Shemayim. And people were discussing this. And they said, of course, what do you expect? In Gehenim, they have all the good lawyers. You never heard that? You heard it from me. Okay, now that we've got Gehenim out of the way, we can move forward. Okay, let this one more Maamar Chazal that we did not do, and that is Pasuk Dal in the very bottom, page 425. Vatashlicheni Mitzula, Hashem, you cast me down into the depths. Yoina Yorad, again, in the bottom of 425, the very, very bottom, Pasuk Dal in Likutei Shas. Vatashlicheni Mitzula, Yoina Yorad, Letohim Echad, Shenemar. Tehoim Yisoyveveni, Vehem HaMitzvim Yardu Lishnei Tehoimais. Mystical Mama Chazal. How many Tehoimais are there? How many floors are there? Take the elevator. right? Lobby, and then there's the basement one, basement two, sub level one, sub level two. So Yoina only went to sub level one. And in Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, they went down to two. How do we know that? Vehem yardu l'shtayim shnemar, yardu vim tsoy lois, b'lushon aram. Shalom aleichem. Welcome. Welcome back. We have not seen you in years. Okay. Good to see you. Give us a report. Yardu shnemar, yardu vim. So is that it's a mistake, right? It's a tos hadafus. Here the vowels are bimtsulas. Okay, you're right. Okay, the ein mitsula ella mayim azim. The word mitsula means both here in Yoina and in Shiras Yam. The word mitsula means mayim azim. Shenema vatashlicheni mitsula bilavav yamim. It says over here in our pasuk Zuntait. So this is a very fascinating insight: is to what depths. To what depths does a person, how low does a person go? Yonah was a Jew. Yonah was a Navi. He sinned. He rebelled against Hashem. The Egyptians were non-Jews. They were over the Avodah Zarah. Or at best they were pagans. Who knows, whatever. Go study all the Pesukim to try to figure out exactly what were the Egyptians. But in any event, they were not Jews. They were not part of Klal Yisrael. A Jew can only go when he's punished. The punishment corresponds to the sin. It's comforting to a degree, is that because a person is Jewish, there's only that low he can possibly go. Now you'll tell me just the opposite. The biggest kafira, unfortunately, today is where is the biggest kafira? In Eretz Yisrael, okay? Because it comes with the territory, the place of the biggest kedusha. Where you have the most Kedusha is what allows itself to have the biggest denial. Yet, even though it's true that the Yetzer Hara is strongest in the place of the greatest Kedusha, the greater the person is, we all know that, as Chazal say that many, many times, the greater a person is, the more of a Yetzer Hara they have to an Avera.
It's kind of like the laws of physics. Every action, there's an equal reaction.
There's always a balance. Hashem created the world with balance. But yet he's telling us something very, very. This is not a contradiction. Although it's true that the more kedusha, the more there is in the corresponding yetzahara. If rachmana litzlan, a person does sink, is nichshal in doing the avera, the damage that he does cannot reach a level that can be reached by someone that does not have that kedusha. The Kedusha still, to some degree, keeps you in check. Even when Rachmana Litzlan, the person is being pulled down. And how do you know this? You see this from Yonah. You see this in this Maamar Chazal. Yonah, when Hashem punished him, he threw him in Bimitsula, which is just one level. The Egyptians, when they were punished, they were cast down Bimtsulois, B'lashoyin Ram. That's a very interesting insight, interesting idea. Now let's look here at the Chaymos Anoch. The Chaymos Anoch in Pasik Gimel. Okay, back on page 423. Going back to page 423, the Chaymos Anoch Lechida. Vayoymer Karasi Mitzarali El Hashem Vayaneni Efsha Divir Ois Yoina. When Yoina saw Shebatchila Haya Bedag Zachar, Vahu Choshav Shesham Yamus Be'ez Oifen, Yoina thought he's going to die over there in this fish. Turn the page now to page 425 in the middle of the Chaymos Anoch. Ulekach kibulav hamisav lo hispalel v'hoyemamtin hamisav b'chol rega. He did not die when he anticipated that he's going to die, when he recognized that his moment of death is near, he did not pray. You know, he's asking the question, why did Yonah first begin to pray after 3 days? And everyone here really is touching upon that question. What changed? Yesterday we discussed this idea that you have to hit rock bottom. Before you can go up, you have to hit rock bottom. He did not yet hit rock bottom when he was in the first fish. Good morning. In the first fish. The rock bottom first came when he was put into the second fish, or according to those opinions that say there was only one fish, it took 3 days. Here he says something a little bit different. He says he thought he's going to die. And when a person thinks he's going to die, he doesn't daven. His frame of mind is acceptance. Then when he saw the second event where he was, I'm assuming he means that he was transferred from the male fish to the female fish, and he was in a state of discomfort, then he had a change of mind. He realized he's not going to die. He then understood that he's going to live, and if he's going to live, Hashem wants him to daven. When I saw a new tzara, that's what triggered my desire to dive into Hashem. I saw that Hashem is doing something to keep me alive. Like we discussed this yesterday. You want that I should dive into you. Now, what do we take out of this chida? He's saying over something very, very fascinating, human insight. And that is when a person recognizes that it's all over, he doesn't daven. It's a natural tendency of a person when it's over, it's over. It's not a time to daven. Look, Chazal tells us when a person knows he's davening, what does he do? He doesn't daven. Vidui. Vidui is confession. It's basically acceptance. I'm now going to die. I want to do teshuvah. I'm not praying that I should live. I'm praying for people in this world or in the next world. There's a sense of reality. Yonah was a realist.
He was resigned.
He was accepting. That's what he learns over here. He's saying the only time he first began to die was in the second section, after 3 days, when he was in a state of discomfort. But originally, he did not pray because he really, really believed he's going to die. And when the person... He wanted to die, okay?
Gemara says, "Afilu cherev kodem unachal tzavaros." That's a
fourth process. And he accepted. He accepted he's going to die. Now, I was very recently reading, and this really hit me hard. I was reading recently the biography of Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was lived about like 3 years ago, maybe 2 years, 2 years ago, I don't remember anymore. And they have a whole section about his wife. Very, very fascinating. And his wife, when she died, when she was dying, and she knew she was dying, she said she was Mispalel Adon Olam. She never heard this before, such a thing. You know, when people, Rachmanos, are very, very sick, they know they're going to die, they say Vidui. And they say Vidui multiple times. And Rachmanos was saying the hospitals, they have in the hospitals, the chaplains, they have like a whole siddur. All these different tefillos, which are all end-of-life prayers. And I once was in the hospital, I was going through this, very, very, very morbid. But she, I don't know who taught her this, she, only thing that she did was she kept on repeating Adon Olam. And when I daven, I look at Adon Olam, and it has like a whole, it really makes a lot of sense. The acharei kichlois hakol levado yibloich noira. The whole theme of Adon Olam is the beginning to the end. It's okay, now, if you have, next time you have
the Sfarim say it's the most important feel of the day, and you're supposed to say it before davening. The reason we put it at the end of davening because people come late and they would miss it, so we sing it at the end.
Because it's so important.
Everybody's there. It is the most important feel of. And
Adon Olam. I think the more common reason why you say it at the end is the person should think that don't think that you've davened. You haven't even started. You start off with Adon Olam. And when you finish davening, don't walk out of shul with gaiva. Oh, I just davened a very beautiful tefillah to Hashem, and I'm safe and secure. You haven't even started. Go back to the very beginning. You walk out at the end of davening with the taste of the very beginning. Adon Olam is a very fascinating tefillah, and this is something which really blew my mind. Never had an appreciation is that this tefillah was selected by this very holy woman to be recited together with her departure from this world. And when you study the Adon Olam in that light, with that perspective, it really gives Adonai Olamo whole new flavor. Especially the line that says, V'acharei kichlois hakol, afterwards when everything is over, levado yimloich noira. The Yodo in his hands of Kid Ruchi, I deposit my spirit, the Ace Ishan, when I go to sleep, the O'ira, which can be interpreted to mean Trias Amesen, when I awake, or when I awake in the next world. Okay, so it's really spooky. It's a whole new insight into the frame of mind a person should put himself into to prepare at those moments of Acharn of Mea Ve'eshrim. And here we have an insight to Yonah. Yonah wasn't being nispala, he was on strike. Yonah really believes sincerely he's going to die. It's not a time to pray at this moment, it's a time of acceptance. And Chazal have given us Vidui, and this story is also, I mean, it says here in the story also that Rav Steinman, he said with her Vidui, he said with her husband, recited with her Vidui multiple times. And in addition to that, she kept on repeating over and over the tefillah of Adonai Olam. All right, let's now go further and morbid, move on to something more pleasant. Let's move on to life. We have such Gehenim today, death. Who knows what's coming next? Okay, let's move on to the next chidah. Next chidah is for, let's learn over here a little bit Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya always has something very, very sharp. Pasuk Gimel, back on page 423. V'zois tefilas Yoina. We now begin, as we said many times, one of the most eloquent prayers in the entire Tanakh. V'zois tefilas Yoina v'yomer karasi mitzor li el Hashem v'yaneni. Mibeten shol shavati shamata koili. V'yomer mibeten shol. What's the meaning of mibeten, the womb of the grave? Livi shohoyo oimei bibeten hadog shames. Ki'ilu oimei bibeten shol. Okay, we discussed this, the miracle. This is something which most people don't even believe. They tell you, they say, what are you talking about? I actually I told someone, they told me, what kind of nonsense are you saying? Everyone saw the movie of Yonah. When Yonah was swallowed by the fish didn't die. The fish was running around, was healthy, was vibrant. Well, the Medrash here, we learned yesterday, the Medrash says the moment after the fish swallowed Yonah, the fish died. The fish was dead. A dead fish floating in the water. And in the dead fish was a living person, Yonah. Yonah was in this is called the grave. When a living person is submerged, surrounded by the dead, that's called Gehenna. Okay, so the neshama is, so it gives you a whole new insight in what is Gehenim. It's not just dead and you're in a place. It's when you're when a person is alive and you're surrounded by the dead. That's a whole new perspective of Gehenim. Yonah here is alive, and he is in an environment of death. The whole large creature that he is enveloped in is one big nevela, is one element of death. Think about it. That's what makes it so unique. Because if Hashem would want to torture him in other different ways, so let's say he's on a desert island, he's here, he's there. This is a whole new world. You're a living person in an environment of death. That's a very unsettling type of thought. And that's what it says here. In this Chazal, the fish died, and Yonah was shoy oimed bebeten hadog hames, ki ilu oimed bebeten shol. That is what Gehenim is, a living spirit in an environment of death. That is called Gehenim. Next page. Okay, vatashlichei. We turn the page to page 425. Vatashlichei. Mitzula b'levav yamim b'nohar yisayin v'veini. Hinei zeh hoya neis gadol. This was a very great miracle. Ki teva hadog hames lo tzuf v'lo shut al p'nei hamayim. Dead fish float. Okay, it takes a living fish to be able to descend into what? Dead man also floats. But a dead fish floats. Therefore, this fish should have floated to the surface. and only a living fish has the ability to submerge, to project itself deep down. It was sinking. This is a miracle. I'm here in a dead fish, and the dead fish is sinking. It reached rock bottom. He was all the way in the depths. This goes back to what we learned yesterday. We don't really know what this means. It's the place where the meeting of the rivers with the oceans. What that means is very, very mystical. All of the rivers, they end up in the Yam. There is the meeting place. This is where it was. Yonah over here, we sing over here. According to this interpretation, Yonah was stranded. He wasn't even moving. The fish sunk, was stationary on the very, very, the sea floor, was lying on the sea floor. Kol mishpanecha v'galecha alay avru, kol mishpare hayom hayayim olav ala arba ruchas ha'ilam, and all of the waves of the sea were passing over his head. Let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk hey and vav. V'ani amarti, when I was in this matzav, and this situation, I said to myself, Nigrashti, Niginegrenecha, I've been driven out. Okay, Lashon of Gerusha. A Gerusha, a woman who has been divorced. What does it mean, divorce? It means a woman that's been driven out of the home. I've been driven away, Minegrenech, from before your eyes. Ach, Oisif Lahabit. And now he is really the first part. I don't know, actually, but he had it with Shavati. Ach, however, he's coming here to make a request. Oisif, Hashem, please. May I continue lehabit to gaze el hichal kodshecha, your holy abode. Pasuk vav, obviously we'll come back and go through all the details in a moment. Pasuk vav, afafuni mayim ad nefesh. Water surrounded me to the point where my neshama would depart. Tehoim yisay viveini, poetic repetition. The depths surrounded me. Suf is the shore. Chavush liroishi, the yam suf. Okay, the yam means, the suf means the sides of the river. If we want a precise translation, the mitzula suvid min deshe. Hagodel b'maim, he learns here the suf means in a type of vegetation. Is the yam, the sea of reeds. The sea, what does it exactly mean, the yam? That's also subject to much discussion. What does it mean, the yam suf? What does it mean, suf? There are many interpretations of what the word suf means. Here, the Mitzudos David is telling us it means reeds. It's a yam, which is known for its exotic reeds that grow along the shore. That's one interpretation. Others have other whole, maybe we'll see over here some of them before Varsha. We'll try to go back to and figure out what is the yam suf. Min desha, the Mitzudos David learns, min desha hagodel b'mayim mechin kone vosuf kamelu, wither. It says that the kane, the reeds, and the suf, two different types of reeds, kamelu, have withered. Now let's see what it says. Let's see what it says over here in the Malbum in his Perish Hamilos. The Malbum, where is the Malbum? I don't see the Gabe. He doesn't have over here the Perish Hamilos here. It seems he doesn't want to translate it. Okay, he's not translating it. Unless it's on the other page. No, there is no Perish Hamilos from the Rav, Mount. So we'll have to see from the Farshim a little bit more detail. Now let's go back and take a look at the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos David. Va'ani Amarti. I said on page 425. Ki shehish lichu oisi hayama. When the sailors threw me into the sea, Choshafti, I thought, hine nigrashti minegre necharitz and alemar he'elamta ayin mimeni. Amazing thing. Hester Panim, Hashem, you do not know what's going on. You do not see Apikoresis. Yonah is confessing that he became an Apikoresis. Isn't that what it says here? He is confessing that I... Helamti, Ayin Mimeni, you have concealed your eyes from me. What does that mean literally? You're not watching. You're not watching.
Yeah, there's
right.
No more
Shmira.
You don't care anymore.
Helamti, you're not watching me.
Rabbanel says that it's, he
Okay, the Barbanel. Okay, that's different. Okay, that's a different interpretation. But that's Abelder Pshat is over here. A tragedy is occurring, and it's not fair. Just because I have disobeyed a direct order does not mean you have to kill me. You have to go and throw me into the Yam and die this miserable death. Therefore, I thought that you're not paying attention. Ach oisif ach ata now hoil viki yam tani. Now here is a very beautiful, beautiful exploding how we learn Pshat in the pasuk. I translated the pasuk as some will, you'll see in a few moments, as this is a prayer. Ach, I'm begging you, Hashem, may it not be so. Don't ignore me. May I merit the day to once again come to the Beis HaMikdash. That's not what the Metzudas David says. The Metzudas David says this is a record. I thought for sure you have ignored me. You close your eyes and you're not paying attention. But now in hindsight, I realize you had plans for me. However, ato now, in hindsight, hoil since, the ki yam tani, kol hayamim halalu, I'm still alive. After all is said and done, I'm still alive. Muftach ani lotzeis mizeh, I am certain I will survive this ordeal. The oisif oy lachabit el hechal kotshech, I'll return to your holy abode. Lavoy shama b'kol toida, with a voice of thanksgiving. So this, according to the Metzudas David, is just a record. It's not a prayer. He's making statements. I suffered tragedy. When I suffered tragedy, I firmly believe the tragedy was because of Hester Panim. Hashem, you're just not paying attention. You don't care. You're not interested. You just let my neshama fall to the wayside. I'll die. Whatever will be, will be. I thought you gave up on me. Now, in hindsight, I realized that was not true. In the darkest of times, Hashem was right there by my side, and I know for sure I will one day, based upon what has happened, there's going to be even a greater future yet in store for me. I will one day come and see Hechel Kachecha. I always tell you many times that folk tale, I'm not even sure it's of a Jewish source. Someone showed me that it's not even a Jewish source. Of someone with a person who's walking in the sand. A person leaves this world. He leaves this world and he comes to heaven. And Hashem plays back his entire life, videotape of his entire life in a metaphor. And Hashem shows him going through his entire life, walking on the beach in the sand.
Footsteps.
And there are footsteps. There are two sets of footsteps in the sand. And then at some point in this video, in this reflection, in this this whatever this thing is, there's only one set of footsteps. One set disappears, and the person, he looks at the surroundings, at the scenery, the background, and he realizes that this was the most difficult time of his life, and the most challenging moments of his life. Suddenly, the second set of footsteps disappear, and there's only one set of footsteps. And he says, Ribbono shel Olam, it's not fair. Ze lo fair. At the most challenging time in my life, you abandon me. You disappear. And Hashem says, whose footsteps are those at those times? Those are my footsteps. I was carrying you. I was carrying you through that difficult matzah. So that's what Yonovi is saying. Hashem, where are you? Where are the footsteps? Gone. I thought you closed your eyes, you're out for lunch. And now I realize it was your footsteps that were carrying me in those difficult times. And I will certainly achieve even greater things. There's more yet in store for me. That's how the Metzudas David shot in this pasuk. Pasuk Vav.
He was not in a good situation.
He was not in a good situation. That's right. He was not.
Not good. Therefore, he was nervous. What to say? You can't control what he's saying.
Pasuk Vav. Afafuni mayim hamayim savavu oisi ad karav loitzos anefesh. Okay, that's very simple. Pasuk next words in the Metzudas on the next page. Tehoim Yisoy Viveni, the Tehoim has surrounded me, Kafal Adav Mila Shoinais, poetic repetition, Suf Chavish L'Roishi, Kikish Adaga, Shato Imoy Bayom, Nikshar Hasuf B'Roish Adaga, Chilu Nikshar B'Roishoy. This is a very bizarre thing. Okay, I don't really understand what he's saying over. What he's saying over here is that all of a sudden, bringing into the picture over here, into this image, reads when the fish was floating with him in the yam, nikshar hasuf b'roish hadaga. The reeds made contact with the head of the fish, uchi'ilu nikshar b'roishoy, and it's as if the reeds were making contact with his head, hoyel v'hoya b'meyeha, because he was in the fish. I mean, something over here. We're missing over here some significance. If you really want to translate the word suf means reeds, suf means reeds. Chavush means it's cleaving. It's like a bandage. Chavush means pe'ercha chavush alecha. Your tefillin should be firmly attached. Chavush means firmly attached. The reeds of the sea should be firmly attached to my head. What do you mean to your head? You're inside the fish. Nothing's touching you. No, because I'm in the fish, and the fish is touching the reeds, so therefore it's like it's touching my head. Obviously, the Mitzudois is not learning like the Rabbeinu Bachya that learns that the fish was dead, and the fish sunk into the bottom of the sea. Right, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, it's a dead fish, and it's on the ground. There are no reeds on the ground. Now here he's saying this on the surface, so maybe this is an earlier point when the fish swallowed Yonah. I have no idea. We'll leave it with that. Let's look at Rashi. Chavush bebeis ha'asurim. Correct. Someone that's imprisoned. That's another usage of the word. You are correct. Here, for whatever reason, the Mitzudas here learns what chavush. Let's one thing at a time. Chavush means to be kosher. Pe'erucha chavush alecha. Your tefillin should be firmly attached. So here, the chavush Mitzudas says inyan kashira. K'mo v'lanishperetz lo chavashtem. I don't know what that means. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik vav and zayin. Rashi pasik going back. To pasik, I was saying pasik hey and vav, pasik hey and vav. Back on page 424, Bani Amati, I said kishlichuni elayam, hirni meis. When they threw me into the sea, I said for sure I'm going to die. V'nigrashti mineged einecha, I am divorced from you. However, isi shekiyam tani kol elu hayamim yodadi ki oisif lahabid elhecha kotshecha. Very similar to what it says in the Mitzudos David. Suf, we'll come back to the word Girashi one moment when we finish the Rashi. It's passage page 426. Suf, chavush l'roshi. Yama disuf telei le'el min reshi. The yam of suf, the yam of reeds, is suspended above my head. That's the Targum. What does this mean? Sheher ohu HaKadosh Baruch Hu yam suf. Oh, so here he's coming onto the Mamari Chazal, Drasha. And what's the Drasha? Yonah, like you go to the dentist and they say to you, would you like to watch a movie while you're sitting in the chair? We have these goggles. We'll put them on your eyes and we'll show you whatever you want to watch. You can watch whatever movie you watch. So it's exactly what happened when Yonah was in the fish. Hashem showed him movies. Would you like to see the Ten Commandments? Would you like to watch the Exodus? Yonah said, I'd like to watch the Exodus. I haven't seen that one yet. And what did Hashem show? Hashem showed him in that video, Kriyas Yamsuf. So it says here, Kisharo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yams Sheher Ohu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yamsuf. Hashem showed him Kriyas Yamsuf. Ve'eich Ovru Yisroel B'soichai. Shah Yishtei Enei Hadog Min Shtei Chaloinais. They were two LED screens. New screens are what's called OL, fancy ones like the smartphones. Now they make this
Windows.
They make big ones. Okay, very very fancy screens. It was like two chaloinos. Umistakel v'roye kol ma shebayom. And he's learning here is that Hashem gave him a tour. Hashem gave Yonah a tour. The eyes of the fish were like windows. Soihar tasela teva. Okay? The Yonah, in one respect, becomes a teva. That's a whole new topic. Not for now. We have really three tevas. We have the Mishkan, the Asuli Mishkan. Mishkan is a structure. And we have the teva of Noach. And we have Yonah. Yonah is also living in a structure. And in each one there are windows. Tsoyar tase la teva. In the mikdash, the windows are called shekufim atumim. Special type of windows, shekufim atumim. A lot of discussion what exactly those windows look like, what kind of windows, how they were positioned, how they were shaped on an angle. And here we have another structure, and we have windows. The eyes of the fish served as the windows for Yonah. And what did he see? Hashem gave him a tour. Hashem took him to the Yam Suf, where the Yam split. And Hashem showed him. Why is Hashem showing this to Yonah? Why is Hashem, obviously, we have to come back to this, we'll see the portion, is obviously very great significance taking place here when HaKadosh Baruch, when Yonah is running away from Hashem's direct command to give Musar to Nineveh. Hashem is showing Yonah Kriyas Yamsuf. You have to remember, what was the main reason? There are many reasons why Yonah disobeyed a direct order. What was one of the main reasons? Was because now the Golos is beginning. The Golos of the Aseres Hashvatim is in progress. It's in motion. The Golos is in motion, and that means the end of Klal Yisrael is coming to an end. That's what they believed. We Baruch Hashem was so brainwashed. Just because you're in Golos, big deal, right? You can be a Jew in Golos. It's so pasha to us. We're in Golos for 2,000 years. Klal Yisrael is doing very well, Baruch Hashem. I mean, in certain respects. Here and whatever, however you want to interpret that. But the belief, we learned this many times in the Nevi'im, it was to them a davar poshut ad ma'od, the simar, that if Nebuchadnezzar would succeed in destroying the Beis HaMikdash and the Jews would be exiled, this would be the end of the Jewish people, period. There is no way a Jew can survive in Golis. Impossible. You need a homeland. You need a temple. If there is no homeland and there is no temple, there is no way in the world the Jewish people can survive. And right now, what is happening? The Golos is beginning. Sancheriv is in the process of exiling the Aseres Hashvatim, which means Klal Yisrael is coming to an end. If Sancheriv will succeed, and later Nebuchadnezzar will finish off the job, they'll be over. So Yonah says, I want no part in this. If I give Musar to Nineveh, to the nation of Ashur, Sancheriv, then they will live to destroy Klal Yisrael. So you know what? Let me not give them Musar. Let them continue to sin. Hashem will destroy them. And if they're destroyed, Hashem doesn't have the ability, a weapon, to be exile the Jewish people. So what is Hashem saying to Yonah and the fish? Yonah, you really think that Klal Yisrael is coming to an end? You think I forgot about Yitzias Mitzrayim? No, Yonah, this movie that Hashem is showing Yonah is Hashem's way of saying to me, Yonah, you're making a fundamental mistake. Even according to your foolish opinion that I need Ashur to exile the Jewish people, it doesn't mean that if indeed they are exiled, Klal Yisrael is going to come to an end. Because the Klal Yisrael coming to an end means I forgot all about the Exodus. I forgot about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem says, Yonah, Yitzias Mitzrayim is the top of my mind. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took the Jewish people out of Egypt to be their God. The Yitzias Mitzrayim ended with Kriyas Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael, they came out on the dry land and the Egyptians were destroyed. You think there's no more Klal Yisrael? If Ashur continues to exile the Jewish people, it's all over? No, it's not. I didn't forget there's something called Kriyas Yamsuf. So you're making a foolish mistake. Even according to your Shita, your understanding, that Hashem needs Ashur to exile the Jewish people, and if people go into exile, they're going to be finished. They're not going to be finished. Because I'm always going to be here, because I always will remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's one interpretation as to why Hashem is showing Yonah Kriyas Yamsuf while he's in the fish, to show him you're making a big mistake. Give Ashur Musar. Let them do Teshuvah. And if they will exile the Jewish people, so be it. They'll exile the Jewish people. It doesn't mean it's over. It's not going to end with that. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeis Yischem Me'aretz Yisrael. Liyos Lachem Le'elokim. I'll always be there for Klal Yisrael. Next. Now, let's go back for a moment, before we go further, back to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk is a very frightening pasuk, because it uses the word Vani Amarti Nigrashti Gerushin. Now, Gerushin is a very dirty word. Divorce is a very dirty word. In fact, there's no such principle of divorce in the Torah until Chumash Devarim. Okay, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolis by the Christians, there's no such thing as divorce. You can't get divorced. Doesn't it? There's no.
Catholics.
What? Catholics. Right. Catholics. Right. Right. Protestants. They're modern. They own up the derech. They change all the rules. What? But there is such a principle as that. Ve'erastichli le'olam. Ve'erastichli b'tzedek v'mishul. There's a din of marriage. Marriage, a commitment. There's no such thing as gerushin. At Klal Yisrael, this was a very big debate. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu divorce Klal Yisrael? Okay, this is getting into Christian theology. Christian theology, because there are psukim, two psukim, which contradict, I've got all the psukim now, to the haftoros that we lay in the summertime, Bein HaMitzarim. The one is, Hashem says, where's your divorce document? What do you think is going on over here? You think you can go, you go into Golis, you can do whatever you want. You can go and you can go have relations with other men. Are you in Golis? Excuse me, Mrs. Eze Sefer Krisus. Let me see your divorce document. But yet we do find there's another pasuk that says Hinesh Shilachti, that says explicitly that Hashem did give us a divorce. I don't remember the pasuk on offhand. I don't remember that. And all the mafarshim, they struggle to reconcile two psukim in Navi, where one pasuk says Hashem indeed gave Klal Yisrael a divorce, another pasuk says that Hashem did not give us a divorce. And so just because Hashem gave us a divorce, it doesn't mean it's over. Hashem can take us back. Yeah, it can only take you back as long as you did not marry someone else. If a man divorces his wife, there's a mitzvah de'oraisa of machzir gidushasai. Mitzvah de'oraisa. But if the wife in the meantime marries someone else, it's over. Then it's aser. So even if chas v'shama HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a divorce, Hashem has a mitzvah to take us back, provided we don't fool around in the meantime until Hashem takes us back with another man. So first of all, one pasuk says there is no divorce, period. Eza Sefer Krisus. Show me your Sefer Krisus. Where is it? I didn't give you any. And divorce, you have no right. Which means that we're Hashem's property no matter what. And the other pasuk, which does seem to indicate there is a divorce, possibly. Okay, so what? Big deal. Hashem, there's a mitzvah for Hashem to take us back. But we have to be super duper careful not to be nichshal and connect ourselves to the goyim, because then Hashem will not be allowed to take us back. So this is a big, big topic. Someone has said the pasuk that Hashem gave us a divorce refers to who? The Aseres Hashvatim. And the pasuk that says that Hashem never divorced us is Yehuda and Binyamin. Okay, it's a lot of big topic of discussion. Obviously, divorce is not an ideal thing. There's no mention whatsoever that there's something called divorce in the first four chumashim of the Torah. The principle of divorce only first appears in Chumash Devarim. And the Mefarshim explain Chumash Devarim is like Plan B. Chumash Devarim, you have all of the tragedies. Rape. There's no such thing as halachos. I mean, it happened in Yehuda, Dina, that was a guy. Shechem and Dina. There's no such thing as yibum, the mitzvah, chalitza, yibum. There's all of like the very harsh realities of life are in Chumash Devarim, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's plan B. Ideally, there should be no such thing as divorce. Unfortunately, Klal Yisrael is not holding where they should, and this is a reality. Here, Yonah, he uses this very, very dirty word. It's not a word that you would expect a prophet to use in his frustration. Hashem, you divorced me. One thing was Hashem, you know, you hid yourself. V'yonoichi hastir astir ponai. That's apple pie, kineged, saying the word Hashem, you divorced me. Saying that Hashem, you know, you're hiding yourself. You're playing peekaboo with me. You're hiding yourself. It's very frightening, okay? But to say Hashem, you divorced me, wow. That's painful to say those words. And Yonah is not holding back. Yonah here is saying, I've really reached rock bottom. When I was in this fish, and this whole ordeal has overcome me, he's here. Like we mentioned yesterday, we read the story in Perek Aleph. We went through all the details. We spent so much time. And now when Yonah is reflecting what happened in his prayer, a whole new world is presented to us. And this one word speaks volumes on Yonah's frame of mind in this matzah. We really don't know his frame of mind. Okay, it's always a question to understand where is a person holding. You have a person in a very difficult situation, and he looks fine, he walks into shul, you don't really know. You don't really know where is their mind, how deep, how far gone they've gone in their tzaras. And this one word is a shocking word. Nigrashti. Losh of Gerushin. You've driven me out. Doesn't just say you've concealed yourself, you're hiding, you're angry with me, you're this with me. All of those other words leave open a possibility. There's a connection. There's a concern. A father and a child, no matter how bad the relationship is, it's your biological child. It's his child. It's your parent, your father and mother. You can't sever that. It's biological. But when it comes to a relationship where you can sever, then it's much, much more powerful. Let's just take a look at the Radak. We'll stop Radak.
Nowhere in the Torah is Gimel and Tess together.
Right, nowhere in the Torah do you have those two words together. Gimel, get, right? Get Krisos. Gimel and Tess, those two letters never appear together. And yet, how do we refer to God in Yiddish? Gut. Gut. The aleph is a vowel. The aleph is not, it's like a dot. The aleph is not part of the word. So God is really a German word. You'll tell me it doesn't mean anything. It's a German word. But yet, if the Jewish people have adopted Yiddish as their primary language and have created their own dialect of Yiddish, of German, and made out of it Yiddish, and it's multiple dialects, all different types of Jews all over the world. Everyone has their unique dialect, and everyone is in agreement. It's an amazing thing. Everyone is in that. The way you refer to God is Gott. And Gott is the Vilna Goyim. God is the word for get. And the reason why we use those letters, Gimel Tess, because those are the only two letters, not the only, but they never appear together. These letters never appear. They never come. They're never next to each other. These two letters, Gimel and Tess, because. So that's why it captures the essence of divorce, because divorce is like a lashon saginar. It's lashon saginar. Two things. Letters that never come together. That never come together. They are. That's what the get is. It's separated. It's separated. These two letters is when you have they never appear together. That is what a divorce is. You're coming to create a separation, the ultimate separation. Because look in the Torah, these two letters are never together. So how can we say call HaKadosh Baruch Hu a get? Hashem is here. The answer is so. This is a topic. But one of the answers is, in a chanam, it's exactly the point. Is that even when you think Hashem is so far away from you, mimizruch lemayrif, to the extreme, just like the letters Gimel and Tes never ever appear in the Torah, and you think that Hashem, there's no way in the world Hashem can be here, can be present in this situation when we experience the ultimate horrors, even there, Hashem is present. What's the famous song? The Breslov song from Rav Nachman. Thank you very much. Thank you. The Hastara. There's a beautiful song that's very popular. I forgot the words. Vafilu b'hastara shebesoicho hastara bevadai gam nimso sham Hashem yisparach. It's a beautiful song. Vafilu b'hastara shebesoicho hastara. Even b'hastara shebesoicho hastara, even at a time of hiddenness, within hiddenness, play on the pasuk v'anochi haster aster panai. Bivadai, with certainty, gam anisham. Hashem, nimsa Hashem yisparach, the Hashem is found there as well. In Golos, we're living in a time of get, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has distanced us to the far ends of the earth to suffer expulsions and horror and tragedy, v'chulu. But bivadai, even the soich gimel tes, God, Ribbono shel Olam, bevadai nimsa sham Hashem yisparach, Hashem is certainly found over there. So Yoin over here is saying this word, nigrashti, mineged einecha. We cannot underestimate toikef, the power of these words, and we have to leave it with this for now. Yishem, one day we'll pick up, we'll continue.